Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news from the WordPress community. Now, welcome your hosts, David Wormsley and Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You have reached episode number 373, entitled NoScript Show Episode 10, User Preferences, Rethinking Web Design. It was published on Thursday the 16th of May, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and a few short bits of housekeeping before I'm joined by David Wormsley. The first thing to say is the Page Builder Summit is coming next week from the 20th to the 24th of May, 2024. We've got 4 days of presentations plus a social day. There's about 40 different presentations going on, but we've got loads of giveaways, prizes, bingo, networking events, and all sorts of things, including a very, very vibrant Facebook group. You can join us by heading to pagebuildersummit.com. Give us your email address and we will keep you updated about all of the different bits and pieces that are happening. Once more, pagebuildersummit.com. Do not miss out. The other thing to mention is that in the very near future, WordPress is turning 21, and I'm thinking of doing a peculiar episode of the WP Builds podcast next week, in which I would like to hear your voices. What I mean by that is, I've set up a page, it's wpbuilds.com/birthday, and over there, you can go and submit your audio. So there's a little form there, including the option to record some audio directly into the browser. Keep it under 2 minutes. There's some suggestions of the topics you might like to cover. And if I like what you send me, I'll try to include it in our special WP Builds 21st birthday celebration for WordPress. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with The Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more by heading to go.me/WPBuilds. That's go.me/WPBuilds. And we're also sponsored by Bluehost. Bluehost, refine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. That's bluehost.com/cloud. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro and Bluehost for their ongoing support of the WP Builds podcast. Okay, that's all the housekeeping. The next thing to mention is that today I am chatting, as I said, with David Wormsley. It's possibly going to be the last, I'm not entirely sure, NoScript Show Hijack, but this is the 10th episode that we've recorded. I'm really enjoying making it, in all honesty, and I kind of enjoy the whole process chatting with David. We get into the features, though, that have been added to CSS and what they've enabled you to do and how widely they're all supported. If you haven't listened to the previous 9 episodes, can I encourage you to go to noscript.show and you'll get an idea of the project over there. But this is all about the CSS new things, what they allow us as web developers to allow our users to control on the website. It's an absolutely fascinating listen, and I hope that you enjoy it. Welcome to the NoScript web show about modern web design, where we look at what we can build today with minimal software and skills. Today, we're talking about the new CSS media queries that let us design unique experiences according to the preferences website visitors set in their browser or device. This is relatively new and increasingly popular, but it also challenges the way we have traditionally approached web design. So, David, are you feeling challenged?
Yeah. Well, I've been really challenged, actually. I mean, a little while back, I did a short video on light and dark mode, and, you know, it opened up so much about kind of being able to, or actually in our case, not being able to use some of the new CSS properties for that. So yeah, but we did agree though that you would not call me challenged, but call me special from now on.
You are special, David.
Okay, that's absolutely fine by me. I mean, I guess the interesting thing here is that we really are heading into a new era where it's possible for the person viewing the web page to have some sort of some ability to change various things. In the past, until almost, let's say now, what you see is what you get. You know, dear viewer, I'm going to serve you up a website and this is what you're going to see. But now we've got the option to sort of interact with that a little bit, which makes life a little bit more interesting, maybe a little bit more challenging. Shall I show our web page so that we can begin this episode properly?
Yeah, the show notes. I mean, I agree. I mean, we started this show really, I guess, on the premise that everything had changed and we were looking at intrinsic design and we were looking at how we had to give up the idea that we would be setting our designs to some fixed width or something. It had to be squishy. And I think this is on a similar vein. We now have to give up the idea that perhaps we're choosing the colors that everybody's going to get or even the interactions.
Right.
So I think, you know, we're having to get a little bit more abstract all the time or a little bit more removed away from traditional print design all the time.
Yeah. I guess SaaS apps and things like that have had bits of this for a while, haven't they? You know, you've been able to tweak the way that, so for example, Facebook looks in certain ways and what have you. But it's coming under the banner of user preferences. The idea being that anybody can decide a whole bunch of different things. And it's not just the light and dark mode, although that was covered in the previous episode, episode 9. By the way, if you want to follow the show notes for this, our website is noscript.show. And then you just append the number of the episode after the forward slash. So this will be episode 10. So it's noscript.show. /10, and you can see that on the screen right now. So shall we begin with these new CSS media features then?
Yes, we've got six of them, and we've listed them here. And the first one we know about, because that's what we've just been talking about, which is prefers color scheme, where we can set things to dark or light mode, so we can do a separate design for dark and light with this, and perhaps in the future, it's certainly in the spec for no preference at all. So we could have three alternatives plus what we regularly will theme, I guess. So we've got that.
Can I just pause you there just for one moment? Mm. So I can see that we've got a link here, which we'll probably click on in a minute. But you've got this supported in 2020, and that comes from Can I Use? And then what's this 96% that's next to it? I mean, it seems like quite a high number.
Sorry, yeah, for those. Yeah, so this is, well, Can I Use has given us the percentage rounded up. I haven't put the dot something as it presently stands where we're in April 2024. So that's the browsers who are supporting these different features. So yeah, 96%. And of course, it's higher with Can I Use if we look just at the UK or US with that. And I've put supported since 2020 because that's when all the core browsers we were talking about baseline before, and it would kind of, you know, it'd meet all of those core browsers there. The next one, shall we just, we'll list them all out, shall we?
Yeah,
the next
one is, and then explore.
Yeah. Is preferred reduced motion, where we can decide whether we're going to include some of the animations that we might put into, you know, whether we just make animations, something that only those people who are specifically not set a preference for, I think. Again, this is pretty similar statistics on this one. So it's, again, at 96%. It's been supported in the core browser since 2020. Then we have forced colors, which I didn't even know about this one. And this, again, it's been out for the same length of time. It has the same Can I Use, and it appears to be used quite a lot. But it's referring to, or at least the MDN records gives us something. An example of it might be Windows high contrast mode, where if somebody set that up, then we might need to have some other styling. So for example, and it's the one that they use, it will kind of make all the drop shadows, the subtle drop shadows, evaporate. So if we wanted to section out an area, we might need to put a clear border around it for those people who have chosen to have a false color with a theme.
And is this something that's, because I noticed you've got a little asterisk next to that one, which then is highlighted below. You gave an example of Windows high contrast mode. Now, I'm not familiar with that because I have a Mac. Is that some sort of setting that you set up in Windows to sort of say, for the eyesight that I've got, I would prefer everything to be really of a high contrast across the whole OS. So it's not just in the browser, it's on everything that Windows shows you.
Do you know what? This is where I'm a bit underprepared with this one, because I do know there are some themes that you can put on, because I played around with those, and there's a really kind of high contrast theme, I think, in there, as I understand it, that you could just pick. There are other ones, so you could just overwrite basic colors. So I think it is that.
It's one to explore. Yeah, there's things for us to learn as well. Okay,
and there's also prefers contrast as well, which may be a separate setting on that one. So we've got I've skipped over one here. I'm looking at other notes. So we got false colors, which is asterisks, which is the one where that could apply when someone set up a theme. That would make sense. And prefers contrast, which I believe is a setting that you might choose to go across all boards, without a theme, if you like.
Okay.
So I think that's the separation between those two. And they
Just drill down into that? So forced colors is where you are enforcing a predetermined set of colors that you want to be there. And prefers contrast is a bit more ephemeral. It's a bit, we want high contrast, but we're not specifying the color palette.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's the case. Yeah, we should have been a bit more prepared with this one. But I do know there's themes in Windows where you could force those kind of colors. And I think the high prefers contrast is just a setting that you might just generally want, in the same way that you have a setting that increases your font size across, the board. Uh-huh. So, and then we've got prefers reduced transparency. Oh, I didn't cover the contrast. That's at 97%.
Yeah.
And again, this is supported a bit later. That's 2022. Prefers reduced transparency. Is still experimental, but it's only not supported in Firefox and Safari, as we're talking about this. So it's still got a 68% can I use. So, people are still using that. And what that is totally experimental is the last one, which is prefers reduced data. And that's only available behind a flag, I think, in Chrome.
Okay.
Or Edge. Edge and oddly, Opera, which isn't counted as one of the core. So they've all got it kind of ready to go behind a flag. But yes, the reduced data is a way of us being able to say someone selects that as their preference, then how we might honor that might be by not loading some custom fonts, being able to just use web safe fonts instead. So if they've chosen that, we don't load that, or we don't load some big images or video or something like that, or serve something as an alternative to that. So
shall we just very quickly dip into each of these links one at a time and just sort of read the top paragraph, because it might even educate us
about
bits that we missed. So we're going to go for the first one, which is prefers color scheme, and we're going to end up on the MDN web docs. And it says here, the prefers color scheme CSS media feature is used to detect if a user has requested light or dark color theme. So it's binary, on or off. A user indicates their preference through an operating system setting, e.g. light and dark mode. I don't know if you have ever implemented this, but I've got dark mode set across the board on every device that I own. This is a fairly recent development for me, and it's largely born out of my lack of battery life on a phone. That was the first thing that drove it. And I realized that I was saving battery by having the black screen instead of the light screen, because you're not illuminating the pixels. And it made a real difference. But then I started to explore what it was like on the Mac. And then I started to hear all sorts of things about, the environmental impact, because it's using less battery power. There is an impact on that. And it's in on my Mac, It kind of works. Some things, are obviously not honoring it. We'll probably see some things in a moment that don't honor it. But on the whole, as you can see here, I don't know if you've got yours switched off. This webpage to me looks like this. It's black. Over where you are, have you got this as black or as white if you don't have that switched on?
Yeah, I have no preference set, so I get white and I get it also if I set it to light as well. So there is one thing in that that it actually is not a complete spec because it does give us an option to put in some code that we're going to have to start it for people who set it to dark, to set it specifically to light. But light and no preference tend to go together at the moment. But in the future, there may be spec for, it's not supported in the browsers at the moment, but for no preference.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Okay. Let's go to the next one then. But that was gave us a bit of an overview. So this is prefers reduced motion. I think you covered that probably well. But it says here, the prefers reduced motion CSS media feature is used to detect if a user has enabled a setting on their device to minimize the amount of non-essential motion. Setting is used to convey to the browser on the device that the user prefers an interface that removes, reduces, or replaces motion-based animations. And I know that there are some people that I know who really suffer when they look at animations on websites. It actually causes something akin to, you know, being on a fairground ride or something like that. You get this real sense of nausea from it. I do not have this at all. I could watch any amount of motion on a screen and it wouldn't interfere with me at all. But I know that this really does make people feel quite unwell, which is kind of interesting. Anything to add to that?
No, nothing. Yeah, but people can have it temporarily where they, you know, often something with an ear infection can throw out people's balance and they find it very difficult then to cope with anything that's moving around on a page.
Yeah, but that's a really interesting one, that there's a medical aspect to that, which is you can very rarely say that about web design, that it can have some impact on people's actual physical state. Okay, forced colors. Let's just run through these quickly. Forced colors is used to detect if the user agent has enabled a forced colors mode where it enforces, so here we are, a user chosen limited color palette on the page. An example of a forced colors mode is Windows high contrast mode. Okay. Shall I move on to the next one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just quickly nipping through these. Prefers contrast is used to detect whether the user has requested the web content to be presented with a lower or higher contrast. So I'm a little bit unsure about what the actual difference with forced and prefers is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think I got it right. Just having a quick Google search here, it does look like on the contrast themes that you can have. So I think the force colors is because the force schemes will force their own color. And I think the high contrast is simply just a generally boosting up your contrast across all sites, but generally it will deliver.
Got it.
As it is, where the themes, I think, as I've only tested it out once, and it was a very uncomfortable experience when I put it on to one of their dark themes. I put it on; it was difficult for me to view some of the websites because they did. You know, we've gone for subtlety a lot more these days. We have these kind of drop shadows to mark out little areas, and we think that's really wonderful. But they just obliterated as soon as you go into one of these themes. You just, you know, you can't tell what the area is.
Yeah. Okay, so that's highlighted that. So we know that one is a bit more profound than the other. Let's put it that way. Okay, so prefers reduced transparency is used to detect if a user has enabled a setting on their device to reduce the transparent or translucent layer effects used on the device. Switching on such a setting can help improve contrast and readability for some users. Okay, anything to add to that or shall I go on?
No, nothing. We do use a lot of opacity on things. And again, it's this sort of subtlety, which, you know, some people just can't see it, can they? So they want that reduced. Yep.
And then this one, which is prefers reduced data, is used to detect if a user has requested that web content consumes less internet traffic. And obviously the links you'll be able to find on the show notes. And really, we've just literally scratch the surface because each of these pages will give you information not only about where it's supported, but how to implement it along with code snippets and what have you. So there they are on noscript.show/10. Okay, so should we move on from there or do you want to explore that more?
There's some extra statistics that, well, let's talk about the statistics because there isn't much available if we want to know about a user's behavior. As far as I know, I'd love it if somebody told me otherwise, but we can, and we've listed it out, the Google's own data, which is what its browser is finding, are features that have been included on the pages that they crawled.
Okay, so are you basically saying that the number that we're showing on the screen, so this one, for example, is showing 32%. They're saying that on 32% of the websites that they're crawling, they've detected this. Somebody has implemented. Gosh, 32%. Wow. Okay.
I know. And it doesn't, really surprise me actually now, because I've just become aware after a long time of not that dark is quite popular more than I kind of thought. But actually the next one, so our forced colors, which is, if we've got it right, is all about people who are choosing a theme. It seems that people are, according to Crohn's, if we've understood it correctly, this 27% of people.
So 27%
of websites or pages.
Right. So 20% of shipped websites, things that you can go and browse on the internet, have the capability to force colors.
Well, they'll honor it. They're going to.
That's a better way of saying it. Yeah, nice. Wow, that's actually staggering. Yeah. I would have thought that number would have been in the low single digits.
Yeah.
But that just shows essentially what a bad website designer I am. These things have gotten lost. And yet there they are. 27% of websites have been shipped with this so that it can be honored. Sorry, I've interrupted. So anyway, I should say preferred color scheme dark setting, that was 32%. Forced colors, 27%. You carry on down the list if you like.
Yeah, well, and the next one is preferred contrast, coming in at 14%, or 14% of pages that they crawl have some code in there that is honoring that contrast preference. Reduced motion, now we drop down quite a lot to 0.5% for that, and that's rounding up on that one. So that isn't being used much because it's newer and not so well supported, I guess. Prefers reduced transparency, we've got 0.4%. And finally, we've got nothing for prefers reduced data because it's experimental and it's only behind flags. So
I love what you've written there. Prefers reduced data. No data. That's kind of ideal. That's the way it should be. But okay, that shows a precipitous drop. So the bits and pieces with the coloring of the website, the dark, the light, the forced color, the prefers contrast, that's been taken up. That is started to ship and is now, it's getting to be in the sort of the low 30s in some cases. But the motion ones, and the transparency one in this case, this is new. Nobody's going for that yet, but we know at least that it's available in most of the browsers. So it could start to become an important topic in the near future.
Yeah, I'm surprised the reduced motion isn't supported so much because it's been around for quite a while in terms of the core support. And in my circles, it seems to be talked about quite a lot about using animation and an awareness generally of accessibility and wanting to, not give people problems. So I'm surprised that's a lower. I mean, I hope we're interpreting these figures, but there's not much on it from the user's point of view, knowing users' behavior. We've only got, if you like, what fellow developers are putting into their code as some indication about what's growing. But
I guess the motion one, I'm trying to think of my recent browsing history and I am really struggling to think of something that I've looked at in the last week where there was any animation at all. The majority of where I end up, so it's newspapers, it's web design tutorials, things like that. There isn't anything that I can think of as animation. So I just wonder if the message about should we just not bother with animation because, is it really needed? I wonder if that message is coming across. And so people are just not implementing it because there's not a lot to implement. There's not a lot to switch on or switch off because they've foregone the option to have animation. I don't know. I'm pure guesswork.
Yeah, it's a really good point because I think people are more conscious about adding it. But I thought it might be included. So, even on our site, there's a bit of animation. In fact, if you were go to there's a little back to the top scroll button. And if you click on it, it animates scrolls up. You can, in fact, you could probably do it if you scroll down on there.
Scroll down
right to the bottom.
Click that.
Yeah.
Yep, and there it is.
That's scrolling up with some animation. Now, actually, if you had your preference set, it wouldn't do that because I actually have included the code already only there if there's no preference. If you set that you don't want motion, it'll go
straight to the top. Right.
So I imagine even if you're right, which I think is interesting, that's probably coming into play as well. But I think simple things like that are often built into a lot of sites. And I would suspect it's one of those things where you would want to use this to get rid of that for those people who specifically don't want any animation. But yeah.
Can I just ask you, because I know that you're implementing some of these bits and pieces, and it might be curious for the listener or the viewer, depending on where you come in. So how are you actually implementing that? So you mentioned that you put in the code for the, let's say, reduce motion. What does that look like? Where does it sit? How complicated is that to implement? And also, how does the user actually set it? How do you, as a user of web pages, how do you say, I want no motion, please?
This is the thing. You have to put that in your, I don't know if it's in the browser settings. I think this has to be in your device for this. It's just showing how little we are prepared for this. In terms of me being able to implement it, it's very easy. I just need to put that in this particular media query. In fact, now you put me on the spot because I'm just quickly trying to search now for my code on that.
No, it's okay. We can probably go to the... Oh, look, isn't that interesting? The MDN pages, which we showed a moment ago, respected my dark mode, but the Chrome platform status page, which we just clicked on, has not. It's decided to show me it in white. So yeah, okay, that's interesting. Sorry, I was buying you a bit of time there, David.
Yeah, it's no good because I still haven't found it in my code, but it was a very simple thing to just wrap that in. Basically, I think I put it in a media query that was saying has no preference, then put the scroll animation in.
Right,
there.
Right. So, okay.
And it's as simple as that. But
that's fine. Yeah, the purpose of today wasn't to explain how to do it. It was more to illustrate the fact that these things are available and can become more important in the future, however they are discovered by the user browsing the website. Do you want to go on to the bit at the bottom about more dark mode, or have you got more to say on that?
Yeah, no, I think that's it. I mean, I think I was right with it's a device only rather than a browser that you can set for no motion, but I could be wrong on that. Maybe browsers will start introducing that. There is some extra information because that's all we could really find about users' behavior rather than developers. And we've got a couple of quotes, and I don't know how reliable they are, but you can go check them out for yourself. So we've got Earth Web, who are saying, maybe you can read that out there.
Yeah, so Earth Web, the website there, a quote that David's found is 81.9%, I call it 82%, of smartphone users use dark mode. And that 65%, 64.6, expect websites to apply dark mode automatically. That figure seems so far skewed to that side with the experience that I have in my life.
Yes.
So I'm not going to contest whether it's valid or not. I'm sure that they've done the polling and the research. But if I was to tell you about the people that I've interacted with over the last week or month, almost nobody on their mobile device that I know has even an inclination of what dark mode or light mode is. And everything is just in the default that the device ships with. But I know for my part, I have implemented that. So I am in that 65% there. But they seem surprisingly high to me.
Yeah. Now, and I've seen other about specifically looking to people like us, people who build sites or developers and that kind of, then it's really high 80s, maybe even reaching 90s that I've seen of people who prefer dark mode, which of course is something that if you work in something like VS Code to do the actual coding, you're going to get a default. And I don't know anybody who kind of codes these days in a light mode. But it is a surprising statistic. I've only got one other site which went out last year where I've implemented dark mode. And I thought, we're moving towards this. I keep hearing more and more about this. And I've got all I've got to go on as the statistics from that is my own observations by looking at Microsoft's Clarity, where it does screen recordings. So that's the only thing. And I have looked through, you know, hundreds of these screen recordings over the time. And my estimate would be somewhere over 10% have come in, and but probably still under 20% are coming on dark mode. There's a toggle. To this point, I haven't seen anyone use that to swap their preference.
Interesting.
But that's much lower than what you would hear. I mean, there's various statistics on this about promoting dark mode, which are always high, but that's quite low. But when I think about it, that would be expected because this website we know is for kind of middle-aged people plus who are in the UK and primarily coming in on desktops. So,
So
I think it's skewed to the lower end naturally if our anecdotal evidence is that it's kind of a big trending thing, I think, amongst people, younger people.
That's an interesting point. So the demographics, the age demographics in particular, might be playing a part. Also, we were talking before we hit record, there isn't really apart from doing it in the OS, so on Mac OS, Windows, or Android or iOS, where you can set this up, and you hope that the browser inherits that. There isn't really yet a universal way of doing this within a website. There's this kind of toggle thing, which I'm seeing more. So top right, there's a little slider, it's a little toggle button. It goes right or left, and it's got a picture, symbol of a moon, symbol of a sun, and you switch it on and off. But that's not everywhere. Some big websites, even governmental websites, you don't see it. So there isn't yet this thing. Sometimes it's buried in the footer. There's no universal way of doing it. And actually, I do wonder how reluctant people would, let's say we set on the toggle in the top right. I do wonder how willing web developers will be and companies will be to give up that much real estate in the most important bit of the website for that toggle, because that's where your contact us button goes, or maybe your logo or something like that. So anyway, time will tell.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just quickly cover this other from Helpful Tech. They say after 10 p.m., about 82.7% of users put their phone into dark mode. And I think that's interesting because, I mean, my only real experience with technology that kind of automatically does that is sat navs. You know, they tend to do that. And I think, that's probably very likely. You touched on something which I covered in my short video before that, and we've been talking about this one. I guess we should bring it in. As I was trying to implement our light and dark mode for the redesign of the site, I decided that we must have a toggle because it's okay honoring those preferences that are set in someone's device or their browser, but they may not always want it. And if they have got it set, they might not like the dark mode you've given someone
on your site.
Yep. And they may at different points in the day or different types of content want to swap. So we end up with the toggle. And suddenly we have a dilemma because something which we could do with CSS, honor those people's preferences, if we want to toggle them, you're going to have to do that on a page-by-page basis to make the CSS that we've been given work. And that's a terrible experience. So we then end up using JavaScript to store site-wide this preference that you've set. So you can turn it off and know it's there and have the control. So we get into this, and then this becomes an argument by a Google employee called Bramus Van Dam. It's not in the notes here, but he has put forward a little test of a button that you can have in the browser. He's been making the argument for a couple of years that this should be the toggle button should be a feature on a side-by-side basis that should be in your browser rather than every website having to reinvent the wheel, put this extra code in.
So the something equivalent. So if you look on my screen here, I've obviously got a load of Chrome extensions here, but to the right of them, these are sort of browser-based things. They look like extensions, but they're actually coming from the browser. So it's, toggling on and off the sidebar and things like that. His suggestion is something like this, right? That you would have a button maybe up here in the browser and you'd click it click it again, you know, on, off, dark mode, light mode, and the browser would take on the responsibility of remembering that on the NoScript Show website, you want dark. So when you come back, you're just good to go. And that feels nice as well, because that could ship, you know, that's one of the settings that could sync between devices. So if you've got Brave, I'm using Brave. If you're using Brave on a mobile phone and another computer, it would sync that data and be able to transfer it so that your experience is the same wherever you go. That seems like the right way of doing it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I mean, since finding that, I also discovered, and I mean, this is some time back, but there is an article and it's linked below on our other links on the show's website. But Safari, a couple of years back, 2022, there was talk coming out that they were considering putting this very thing into Safari browsers. So I do think it does seem logical that they will provide this choice. Following the people I follow now, a lot of people have implemented light and dark modes and realized on their own designs that just leaving it to a browser or device setting isn't enough. You need to be able to give people a toggle. And as soon as you get the toggles, you get that extra code. You also get another issue with some logos. And I'll talk about this in the short video, because suddenly you want a light and a dark mode. And you maybe have to serve up again with JavaScript that, or do it with a background image. But with an SVG, you can include the prefers, the color scheme, and you can change your SVG to respond. Yeah. So it'd be wonderful if we can just get it down to HTML and CSS, being able to, and let the browsers do the toggle for us all.
Yeah. I guess one of the things is that, you know, so I'm just going to scroll back up the page. So just in this show, we've covered, you know, color schemes, reduce motion, force colors, contrast, transparency, data. That's quite a lot of toggles. if that were to be on the website, you know, the whole of, there's just a whole area of toggles that you've got to toggle on and off, make decisions. And if you just set that up in the browser, you know, maybe the first time you install it, that's part of the onboarding experience. You know, do you typically like light or dark? Do you typically want reduced motion, etc.? Then that being handled by the browser in every case, in every single one of those, feels like the right way to begin that journey.
Well, yeah, I wonder, I mean, the light and dark one is because I think it's come up. I mean, all of these things you should be able to find in your device or your browser anyway, the ones that are listed, of course. It's now with the light and dark on a site-by-site basis that you decide to. So I think if you went for no data, you wouldn't decide that you wanted that on a site-by-site basis.
Yeah.
And the same as contrast. So I think it's the light and dark mode that stands out as something different, where, you know, our behavior dictates that actually we want to be able to choose but on a side-by-side basis, where the others, I'm not sure. I think they could be set in the in your settings and be good, you know.
If you
do have an issue with motion, then you want all of your,
you probably want that everywhere. Right. Yeah, exactly. I think that was what I was trying to say. I probably didn't communicate it very well, but okay, so we're on the 38-minute mark. Shall we just wrap up with these pros and cons? Do you want to go through that, of what it means for people working, building websites?
Yeah, exactly. There was just maybe, I mean, I think we're both agreed on this one, but what we might get, I think it's worth trying to implement some of these things, but what we might get is a client's resistance on the con side here of doing anything that's not visually on brand. That we might be some cost versus relative returns on implementation if we all have to do it, and concerns about this is tech in its infancy, which I think when we're having this debate about the whether we should be able to switch in our browsers to switch from dark and light mode, I think it shows us how we are in an infancy with that one. And as we were showing in this, lack of data about how actual users are behaving. But I think the counter to that is the thing that I put on the pro, which would be responded to a user's preferences would probably allow us to control the branding better, because if users are going to increasingly override it with themes that they get from their browsers because they get used to that, or they're just setting things up, then you lose your control over your branding anyway. You might think it's fine because it works on yours. So I think it's a way of doing that. I think when it comes to the cost of these things, I think it probably, as a lot of these fall under accessibility in some form or another, then implementation early on is probably going to save extra costs later.
retrofitting is more expensive than just doing it at the start, always.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's it. And I think in some ways we can already see, we didn't actually look at, did we look at any of those growing statistics? It does look like everything's on the growth. We're moving to a more user preference based web, I think.
Yeah, some of the links that we have on this page link to the Chrome documentation and their polling, as we said, the pages. The graphs are always inexorably rising up. They don't seem to be going down. So this is a trend without a doubt. Yeah, sorry, interruption. Yeah.
No, and I think there's more people these days who will know about things that are already in most of the browsers are reading mode, where you can just wipe out all of the design anyway. So I think people are getting smarter. And it does, to me, I don't know about you, it feels like with a lot of things, we are moving away from how we used to look at the web, particularly, you know, people who paid us to design websites with, because they were marking out their space in this new area to do their marketing, and print was what everybody knew. Where I think where this moves us a little bit back to the fact that, well, the web is still this kind of information sharing platform. And we need to provide whatever we are selling within that framework and be part of the general web, so we can give users the experience. We have to fit in, if you like, the direction. So I think, there's a big change. That's it, really. There was so much more we could have talked about in this one. I think there's a bigger debate about the light and dark mode, but I think we talked long enough.
Well, we've certainly supplied information. You know, it's pretty clear that there's a lot that we really, really don't know, but it is sort of cutting edge. But I think what we can definitely take out of this is that this is here. It's available. People are beginning to use it, and in some cases are using it not quite as a majority, but it's fast approaching a majority. And go and look at the show notes. Like I said, noscript.show/10 for the 10th episode. You can find all of the links there and go and explore for yourself and start having that conversation with your clients. Are we done?
Yeah, we're done. Yeah.
Okay. In which case I'll see you on episode 11. Thanks, David.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right. I hope that you enjoyed that. An absolute pleasure chatting to David today. If you've got any commentary on that, please head over to the website, wpbuilds.com. Go and search for episode number 373 and leave us a comment there. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with The Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more by heading to go.me/WPBuilds. That's go.me/WPBuilds. And we're also sponsored by Bluehost. Bluehost, refine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. That's bluehost.com/cloud. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro and Bluehost for their ongoing support of the WP Builds podcast. A quick reminder before we go, don't forget that we have got the Page Builder Summit next week, starting the 20th of May, pagebuildersummit.com. 40 plus presentations around that number, plus a whole load of other giveaways, prizes, networking, and loads of other fun stuff. And don't forget, we've got our birthday episode, wpbuilds.com/birthday. Go and record your short audio and tell us what WordPress means to you. Okay. That's all I've got for you this week. I hope that you stay safe. Have a good week. See you at the Page Builder Summit. Bye-bye for now.